Thank the Lord for a beautiful day, for the privilege of being here this morning. I'd like to read from Mark chapter 13. Mark 13 and 1, as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of the Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end is not, shall not be yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils and to synagogues. Ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Verse 11, But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, Take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither what do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father, the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. It is not so much how we start out the race, our Christian race. And really, it's not so much what happens along the way. What really matters is how we end up. It's whether or not we endure unto the end. I was a teenager and I drove my car onto the Monarch campground during a time that church service was in progress. And as I drove by the drinking fountain, there was a young man there and I noticed he was staring at me intently. And I said, Hi. And he did not return my greeting. Instead, he asked me, Why aren't you in church? Well, this young man had been saved from a life of deep sin and made a real change, and he was really serious about following the Lord. But unfortunately, before too long, he drifted away and went back into the world. That incident on the campground happened over 40 years ago. And my question is, what good is it to insist that a person never miss a church service if you spend decades away from the Lord? You see, it's not so important how you started out, the amount of zeal that you had, or if you started out with a big bang. What really counts is he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. To endure is to last, to continue in the same state without perishing, to remain, to abide, to bear, to suffer without resistance or without yielding. When we think of enduring, we think there are some hardships involved. Well, the question is, what kinds of hardships should we expect? Well, Jesus said, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, in verse 6, and shall deceive many. So one of the things we're going to have to endure is deceivers. There will be people that have smooth words, that are charismatic, that are very eloquent, and have a way of winning people's hearts. They can affect your emotions. We're going to have to endure some things. We're going to have to be able to keep faithful without yielding, keep continuing the same state without perishing, to remain, to abide. Verse 7 speaks of wars and rumors of wars. We may have to endure some frightening times. There may be things that we don't know what we're going to do. We see changes in our society, we see changes in our finances, in our health, or whatever it may be, things that frighten us. We're going to have to be willing to endure in spite of those things. Verse 8 says, nation shall rise against nation, speaks of famines, of troubles, of sorrows. These are some things that we may have to endure in our lives. Verse 9 speaks of legal troubles with both religious and civil authorities. Well, that can be pretty fearful, can't it? In our country, the civil authorities. Frightening. What's going to happen? Well, how do you think folks feel in North Korea? In other countries where they don't have the freedoms that we do. But yet we see changes, and it can make us fearful. Lord, help us to be willing to endure. Jesus told us these things are coming. So if they are, Lord, help us that we will endure to the end so that we can be saved. Verse 12 says, brother shall betray brother to death, and father the son, and so on. So betrayals, having people that we love betray us, is something that we may have to endure in our lives. In verse 13, it speaks of being hated of all men for my name's sake. We like for people to like us. We like popularity. Well, sometimes we may have to endure the opposite of that, where people reject us. You remember Peter? When Jesus was foretelling of his crucifixion and what would happen to him, Mark chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Verse 29, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Lord, I can endure the big things. I'm willing to go with you all the way. I'm willing to die with you, Lord. Well, Peter, can you endure the small things? What if someone accuses you? Surely thou also art one of them, Peter, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. An accusation. And Peter began to deny the Lord. Peter, can you endure the small things, the accusations, the fear of the religious leaders? And that's a question for us as well today to consider. What about the small things that come our way in life? Life has disappointments, doesn't it? Can we endure those things? What about monotony? Any job has a certain amount of monotony to it. Doesn't matter how exciting it is or whatever, there's a certain amount of monotony you have to put up with. And life is the same way. If it is a good cause, it's worth putting up with some monotony to get to the goal. Well, in our time, it seems that people want to be constantly entertained. They don't want any monotony, no boredom. Are we willing to endure some monotony to make it all the way to the end? What is it that we will have to endure? Temptation. James in chapter 1 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Not blessed is the man that overcomes temptation sometimes and other times gives in. That's not what Christianity is about. The song says, hallelujah, what a thought. Jesus' full salvation brought victory, victory. Let the powers of sin assail. Heaven's grace can never fail. Victory, victory. I am trusting in the Lord. I am standing on his word. Victory, victory. I have peace and joy within, since my life is free from sin. Victory, victory. That's what Jesus came to bring. Something that allows us every day to endure temptation, to overcome. What is it that we are going to have to endure to make it all the way to the end? We're going to have to endure some trials. Verse 2, James 1 and 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So these trials are doing something good in our lives. They're working some things, and it's going to be worth enduring. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What about the trials of life? Are we willing to go through them consistently, year after year, steadfast, being faithful through all those trials? Or is it the big bang of starting out, so much zeal, and then falling short along the way? Lord, help us to be consistent and steady throughout our entire lives. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. Isaiah 50 and 7, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. A flint is a very hard stone. And when we set our face like a flint, that means we're very determined that we will endure. Doesn't matter what happens, I have my face set like a flint, not like Lot's wife who looked back to Sodom, not like the Egyptians that looked back and longed for the leeks and the garlics of Egypt. But Lord, help us that we will set our faces like a flint, like a very hard stone, a determination that no matter what happens to me in life, I am going to make it all the way to the end. What is it that we will need to be able to endure to the end? We're going to need a lot of strength, aren't we? Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things means every day. That means year after year after year, no matter what comes our way in life, all things encompasses that. The discouragements, the persecutions, being hated of men for Christ's sake, being betrayed, whatever it may be, we're able to go through. That's included in all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Moses was speaking his parting words to Israel before his time to leave this world. Let's read in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, neither be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel. Now that's what Moses just said to the people themselves to be of good courage and be strong and fear not, because the Lord would be with them. And then he calls Joshua, the next leader, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, and he will be with thee, and he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Since the Lord is with us every day, since he's the one fighting our battles, we're able to endure. So what do we need to endure? We need strength. We need determination, our face set like a flint. We are also going to need divine help. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 30. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. By who? By our own strength, by our own intellect? No, by my God. When I see a troop and I'm by myself, I don't want to run through it. But by my God, I am able, through his help. We need the strength from God, the help from God, to be able to endure to the end. Deuteronomy 20 and 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. When you go out in life and you see problems that are bigger than you can handle, when you're outnumbered by peer pressure, when the world is going a different way, when the laws change, when people go back on the Lord, don't be discouraged. When you see the enemies, when you see the horses, the chariots, and a people greater than you, Lord, this problem is bigger than I am. I don't know what to do. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee. That ought to be comforting. That ought to cause us to take courage, to feel like, yes, I can make it all the way to the end. The Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What is Egypt a symbol of spiritually? It is the sinful bondage. The Lord that saved you from your sins is going to be the one to help you conquer your enemies and make it all the way to the end. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. But you know there's going to be some obstacles along the way. Let's look in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Luke 8 and 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that which is on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. How do we guard against the devil? Jesus said that the devil is the one that comes and takes the word of God out of people's hearts. So how do we guard against the devil? I have a suggestion. When the seed is sown, don't leave it on the surface of your heart. Bury it where the devil can't get it. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. When you walk out of these doors today, don't just let your mind wander on any old thing. Consider the word of God that you heard today. Ponder it. Let it sink in to your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. You think about squirrels this time of year. What are they doing? They're busy digging little holes and burying the acorns. I don't know what birds might eat acorns, but if a bird is flying over and looking down for some food, and that squirrel has already buried it, it's not going to find that acorn. So it is with the devil that is trying to steal the word of God, the conviction of the Lord, out of your heart. If you have buried it, if you have not just left it on the surface, if you have digested it, taken it in, then the devil is not going to be able to get to that word of God. We're talking about enduring all the way to the end today. Everyone want to make it? Does everybody want to go to heaven? Is there anybody that wants to be like this one that falls by the wayside? I want to make it all the way to the end, don't you? Lord, help us that we will consider what it's going to take. How is it that we cause the seed that is planted in our hearts to take root? Jesus said, "They on the rock are they which they, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away." So how do we make sure that the seed has root in our hearts? Jesus mentioned rocks. Rocks were preventing the roots from going deep. What about our hearts? Are there places of hardness there that the Lord would like for us to get rid of? Is there some stirring in our hearts of loosening up that fallow ground? You know what fallow is? I believe that is ground that has never been tilled or plowed. Is there some loosening up the Lord needs to do to make our hearts soft? That's how we can get the seed down in there and get some roots sinking deep. Make sure that the soil is soft. Verse 15, Jesus spoke of that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Luke chapter 13. And verse 6. He spake also this parable, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Lord, let me work on that soil some. Let me fertilize it. Have mercy, Lord. Just give it a little bit more time, and I'll work with this tree to see if we can save it. Lord, work on my heart. Soften my heart, Lord. Fertilize my heart, Lord. Don't let it be barren. I want your word to sink in my heart, and I want to make it all the way to the end. How do we cause the seed to get some root? By letting the rains come. It's going to take giving it some time. How is it that we keep the seed from being choked out? That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked out. You notice it didn't say this category of people received it with joy. Some received it with joy. They apparently were converted, but they were just so shallow. But that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Do you see any traps there? And bring forth no fruit to perfection. Now, we can still have some cares. We can still have some money. We can still enjoy clean pleasures. But if it gets to the point that it's choking out the Word of God, we've got a problem. And then it's time to come to the Lord and say, Lord, how do we cut some of this out? Because that which is so important, that which is going to allow me to endure all the way to the end, is getting choked out. And I don't want to get to the end of life and all I have to present to you is the thorns that grew up. How is it that we are able to endure all the way to the end? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10 and 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. An unwavering hold on our faith. Continuing to the end is more than hanging on to a profession. It is holding on to the faith of Jesus Christ. It's holding on to the words that he taught. Revelation 14 and 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. See, there is an enduring that is keeping the commandments of God. Enduring to the end means keeping the faith all the way to the end. The commandments of God. Have you noticed that in the history, religious history of the Christian faith, that there are reformations that will break out and people are excited and people are changing and the Spirit of the Lord is moving and working with certain groups of people. And maybe the Reformation spreads and influences a lot of people, but then as time passes, that Reformed movement begins to fall away. It's happened over and over in the history of the church. Reformation, and then a falling away. And then someone else gets a vision and gets the dealing of the Spirit of God, and they start preaching the message that of holiness, of the teachings of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God moves in their heart and life, and it influences other people. And there's another Reformation. And then some generations pass, and there is a falling away. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Not he that got excited when he first got involved with the growing movement of Reformation, but he that is faithful all the way to the end, keeping the faith, unwavering, unchanging. I'd like to quote my father, James Wall, in his teaching on the history of the church. He said, a falling away, a departure from truth does not occur in one great step, but a series of very small concessions and changes. That ought to make us cautious. That ought to make us get wary when we hear people beginning to advocate making some adjustments. Lord, help us to be careful and to endure all the way to the end. I'd like to share an excerpt from a tract, and I have clarified the language a little bit. It's called Cutting Off the Cross. We heard of a dear old brother who for many years took his stand opposing the worldliness and drift in his church and community. His family insisted that things had changed and all was so different now that he should give in and go along with the trends. They all declared that they loved the Lord as much as he did, and that the popular was not so reproachful. He was troubled in his mind and wondered just what to do. It seemed that there was no one who encouraged him to keep contending for the old paths. Then one night, he dreamed that he was carrying his cross. The cross was cumbersome, heavy, and painful to his back. In his dream, his family sympathized with him and suggested that he saw off a little of the cross. So he cut off part of the heavy cross. He then found that his cross was less painful and much easier to bear. It appeared less obnoxious to the family and friends. Traveling on in his dream, he came at last to a chasm deep and wide. Jagged rocks jutted from the sides, and murky waters dashed and roared below. He realized this was the river of death. To cross it safely meant a landing on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. To fail meant to be carried down to the eternal regions of dark damnation. His heart trembled as he contemplated the treacherous crossing. How could he make it? Then a voice seemed to say, "The cross. Use the cross that you carry." He placed one end of his cross on the jutting rocks at his feet, then let it fall in an effort to span the gulf. He started to walk across, but alas, his cross was so short that it slipped off the edge on the far side, plunging him into the dark waters as he screamed in despair, "If only I had not shortened my cross." Awaking from his dream, he fell on his knees and promised God that he would never compromise or let down, even if he must go all alone. That's what it takes to endure to the end. If I have to go to the end all alone, I'm willing to do so. If I find myself in a drift, a change, and another change, and another change, I need to re-examine what's going on. Am I really going to endure to the end like this? If my beliefs keep evolving over time, I need to wake up and recognize I have to hold the faith all the way to the end. Before he found the Lord, Brother Mark Sammons was in the Navy. And sometimes the seas were rough. The sailors were apprehensive. During these anxious times, the calm voice of the captain would come on and say, "Steady as you go, steady as you go." The captain knew what it took to endure to the end. It takes a steadiness. It takes a calmness. Did you know the Christian race is a marathon, not a sprint? We need some patience. Let patience have her perfect work. What husbandman gets the fruit without waiting a long time? Letting that trial have its perfect work in him. Is the fruit of heaven worth having? Is it worth enduring some things? How long are we going to have to endure? How long will you have to endure? When you're young, it seems like you'll live forever. But it is a very short time. It's not so long to hold on. Lord, help us that we will set our face like a flint, that we will solicit the help of God who is willing to help us, who's made so many promises, that we will be willing to take the small things in life, the offenses. Are offenses big or small? They can be pretty small sometimes, can't they? That we will be willing to face legal troubles, whatever it takes. Anything that comes my way. Lord, the scary times, the bad news that the world is giving me. Willing to endure all of these things because there's one person that makes it to the end. And that is the person who endures. Revelation 2 and 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Don't fear them. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But do this, be faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. There's nothing that I want more than that. I want that crown of life. It really doesn't matter a whole lot what happens between now and then. What kind of pains I may experience. The difficulties, our freedoms being taken away. Our finances being taken away. Our reputation being marred. Really, it's not going to matter a whole lot in the end. What's going to matter is if we endured all the way to the end and we receive that crown of life. I want to do that, don't you? I want to see everybody here make it. Everybody. And I want to make it too. So I ask you to pray for me. And I ask you, let's all pray one for another. Lord, help us that the devil doesn't snatch the seed out of our hearts, that we soften our hearts to where the roots can grow. That we stay focused on that eternal goal. God, help us all today. We need him very much. Amen.